Getting ready to talk to a young man who we take a lot of pride in, Andy.
We do?
Just play along, will you?
Okay, I'm playing.
We take a lot of pride in him. Why? Because he was one of us.
Yes, he was.
Nick Shook.
I may have spoke to his class.
He's going to join us momentarily.
Make me feel old.
Do you think so?
Yeah. I was impressed because he was one of those kids that kind of stood out that you, when you met him in college. And you're like, oh, I know this guy's going to. He's going to do something great.
It's like when you say that I came out and spoke to a class of yours at Kent State that I don't remember.
No, I never said that. I just met you at the radio station.
Oh.
I was like, oh, he's got a job. Where is he? I don't know where Beaumont is. I have no idea.
Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. A young man who, if you take a look at his resume, you'll see a couple of things. One of them says in 2013, intern at WKRK 92.3 The Fan. Then it says sports director at Kent State's radio station. I had that job too. He's Nick Shook now from NFL.com.
You will forever have that bond
with
him,
Nick.
Oh, it is a special fraternity. I'm telling you, whether it was what you guys used to call it or by the time I got there, it was Black Squirrel Radio. It doesn't matter. It's a prestigious opportunity.
Yep. It was WKSR when I was there, where Kent State rocks is what we called it.
Great.
Throwing up the horn.
Nick, does anybody still call you the Shooky Cookie too? Or no? That was a nickname you gave yourself, wasn't it?
That was a nickname that I got from an old buddy's girlfriend in high school, and it was a Twitter handle until I realized that was not going to fly in the future. So you are the only one left.
I'm the only one that still calls. You know why? Because I remember when you were, I was just asking Jeff, did I speak to your class or did I just happen to meet you? I can't.
Yeah, you might have come to my sports writing class. Sue Valerian taught it back in the day.
Oh, yeah, it was, yes.
There.
She was an outstanding writer from, she covered the Browns, Columbus. I met her. She used to cover Ohio State. That's what it was. She was a big Ohio State writer, yes. Excellent.
Before we start talking, you know, what you get paid the big bucks for now, writing for NFL.com, one last thing.
Because we're working for you now, bud.
Yeah. Anybody here at the radio station when you intern jerk to you? Anybody?
That's an off-air discussion.
No, okay, there we go.
Just say yes or no. Just say yes or no.
Give us a yes or no.
We'll say yes with no names.
Right, wow. Yes. We'll call you later. I can't wait to talk off camera.
As long as it wasn't Baskin or Phelps, that's a good thing.
No, and it wasn't Mike Chico Borman, who was always great to me and continues to be great to me.
All right, there you go. That's fabulous. So Nick Shook joining us now with NFL.com, and he's been there for a long time, and you can read his stuff at NFL.com. And by the way, you do really good work. Nice job.
Thanks, guys.
Always interesting stuff.
That means a lot coming from you. Well, I really appreciate that.
It's true. I use you as a resource, and you do great stuff. Before we get to the Browns in particular, Hall of Fame game last night, we saw the kickoff. Are kickoffs going to look anything like that in the regular season, Nick? Or were they just so vanilla that they're just rolling this thing out and nobody wants to show anything?
So I think we're in uncharted territory and teams are trying to figure it out on the fly. Because you can run and practice a lot, but you're never going to get the same as live bullets of a live action game. So what I was trying to pay attention to last night was, you know, are they getting creative in the blocking schemes or were they doing it straight up? And at one point I saw the Bears pull one blocker away from his initial spot around inside. And then I watched the returner run completely away from it. So I think there's going to be a lot of bumps along the way with this format. But it's interesting because my people over at EA tipped me off a few days ago to how Mike Tomlin was working with them and in the new Madden game. And they were getting on Zoom calls every week. And they were basically playing Madden with the new kickoff format installed in the game for Mike Tomlin to watch. And he was telling them, hey, change out this guy. Put this guy in here. What if you guys add this before next week? And essentially what they told me was Tomlin said, it's going to evolve over the course of the season. It's going to start as small guys on small guys looking for speed and all that type of stuff. And eventually somebody's going to counter with putting bigger blockers out there. And then the kick team's going to have to, you know, counter accordingly and put bigger guys out there. And you're going to see what will develop is they're going to treat it like an offensive down, a run play. You're going to see trap schemes. You're going to see pin pull schemes and stuff like that, where blockers are moving from right to left to create some sort of crease. And what we're going to do over the next couple of months is it's going to be clunky and we're all going to sit back and go, God, this really didn't pan out like we thought. And then somebody's going to break one. They're going to get creative in how they design it and they're going to execute it right. And they're going to rip one off and the rest of the league's going to follow suit. And that's when the creativity is really going to open up. And that's when it's going to get fun. It's just, we're not going to get there right away.
Nick, do you think teams are looking at what happened in the minor spring leagues for kickoffs on this, or are they going in different directions?
I think they're definitely referencing some of the XFL tape of old, UFL now. which has had that since 2020, a version of it, not exactly the same thing, but a version of it. Yeah. And I think they're going to try to steal some concepts from that because that's football. It's a copycat league and a copycat sport. So they're definitely relying on that as, you know, valuable game tape because this has never been filmed in the NFL until last night. And that's why I think that there's a ton of possibility for creativity. I mean, at one point, Tomlin told the people at EA, he goes, you know, the Fields thing as a returner wasn't necessarily just, you know, a joke. Like, I might run a read option with him back there. I might, you know, run a reverse and stuff like that. We've seen stuff like that in the XFL in the past already. So I do think some of those concepts will come over to the NFL.
All right, bigger picture, because I want your opinion. Good for the game, bad for the game?
Good for the game. I mean, the kickoff was a ceremonial down. I mean, it wasn't even technically a down. It was just, here's how we exchange possession because we've been doing it like this for 100 years. So to bring some new life into it, I think is going to, I mean, everybody was paying attention to the kickoff for the first time in my career last night in the press box, you know, with bated breath. Sure, the first two finished at exactly the 26-yard line, and there were some, you know, missed blocks and kick coverage teams, guys just pancaking blockers, and you could tell, you know, a couple times that the offensive team, you know, the return team moved too early, or the kick team moved too early, and they drew penalties. Like, it's going to be ugly, but I think it's definitely better for the game in the long run.
Nick, if we end up going to 18 games here, the commissioner's already said he's seen enough of preseason. What would happen to the Hall of Fame game?
I think it'll exist, and I think that that team will be playing three preseason games just like we do now, and everybody else will be playing two. Just like right now, everybody plays three, and the teams in the Hall of Fame game play four. I mean, it's kind of a bummer, but and you start camp earlier, and it's a longer season, but I think it has an important enough place as a, you know, a significant point along the NFL calendar that, like, look, football's back. Every time I go cover the game, I sit down in the press box and go, oh, it's great to be back, and then I go, ah, the off season really is over.
Yeah,
you know, so it's kind of that sign, that's why I think it'll stick around.
Yeah, if the commissioner kind of gets his way, and they don't have any preseason games, would they just name one of the games the Hall of Fame game? Would they move a regular season game there? Would they see Nick? When I started thinking about it, I was like, maybe what the league would want to do is with these control, because if they don't have preseason games, they're still going to have these controlled scrimmages. Maybe one of the controlled scrimmages becomes the Hall of Fame game. I'm trying to think out of the box on it.
No, I like that. It's creative because I haven't thought that far myself. I have a hard time thinking that we have no preseason, that we just treat it like college football does, because college football's first 3 weeks are usually kind of their preseason when you have the Power 5 schools playing against MAC schools, right?
Right.
And you don't get that in the NFL because the talent disparity is not nearly as wide as it is in college, and so you kind of need these games to test some guys out and let guys win or lose jobs and that sort of thing. So I have a really hard time imagining a scenario in which we don't have any preseason games. Obviously, the entertainment value is not there, and by the time you get to week 3 or 4 in the preseason, everybody's like, all right, let's get to the regular season, which is why, you know, shortening it to 3 games this recently and maybe to 2 if they go to 18 games makes sense. But at the same time, if they do in some alternate scenario in which preseason games completely go away, I mean, that stadium in Canton, they built that to be NFL, you know, standard, like, right. Like specifically, in fact, David Baker used to run the Hall of Fame. He told me when they were in this whole, you know, project, they were building out everything. He said, we built this up to NFL standard in the event that a team cannot play and they need to go somewhere else, they can come play a game here. So I think that that stadium and that facility will continue to be used. And the way they use it right now is the Hall of Fame game. And I just see some sort of place to fit in there in the future, especially with how often that we see teams going overseas now. We got a game in Brazil now. We're going to have a game in Spain in the future. We got games in London. I think that Canton will be somewhere in that plan.
It is also interesting to realize that they have practice fields there, too, that nobody really knows about.
A ton. Yeah. A ton of practice. And a bubble. They have a bubble now, too.
Yeah, that's true. And a Ferris wheel.
And a zip line.
Thank you, IX Center. Now has a Ferris wheel. Thank you.
Okay. And if you need more, you can always go to Massillon and use their stuff, too. So that works out.
Oh, that's true, too.
Nick Shook joining us from NFL.com, a local guy who interned with us many, many years ago and now with NFL.com. Because of your background, I know you pay particular attention to the Browns. Should people be paying particular attention to the Browns this year? And not folks like us, you know, who do it for a living, folks around the NFL.
I have one simple answer for you. HBO and NFL Films are documenting the entire division season this year. So, yes, they should definitely pay attention to them. They should pay attention to the entire division, but they should definitely pay attention to the Browns, a team that reached the playoffs last year with Joe Flacco coming off the couch. You know, this roster is better than it was last year. It all comes down to Deshaun Watson, of course, but there's enough star power over there. and could potentially even be more, that, you know, there's plenty of reason to watch them. And, I mean, the allure alone of, like, is Watson going to, you know, find success or just, you know, internally combust, you know, just spontaneously on the football field? Who knows? Like, there's enough allure there to draw the eyeballs. But, yeah, they're a contender in probably the toughest division in football, so they should definitely pay attention to them.
Who do you like in the toughest division in football?
Oh, that's tough because, you know, the way I look at it is I try to start from bottom to top. Like, which team do I eliminate first? And I really can't eliminate any of these teams because if the Fields and Russell Wilson experiment actually works in Pittsburgh, that's a good team. I mean, they had a hell of an offseason. They added on both sides of the ball where they needed to. They're in a much better place now than they've been in the last few years. Cincinnati, you know what they have. As long as Joe Burrow's there and they've got that receiving core intact, they're going to be a tough out. Baltimore, kings of the division, probably got even better in the offseason. They got deeper on the defensive side of the ball, and they, of course, added Derrick Henry, and they have a two-time MVP at quarterback. And then you have Cleveland, whose biggest question mark is quarterback. And if Deshaun Watson delivers, this is a damn good football team that everybody's going to have to pay attention to. So I don't even know who I like in the division. I guess I'll go with Baltimore because, I mean, they had a massive exodus on the coaching side defensively, and I have a hard time thinking that they're going to be able to pick up where they left off. But talent-wise, man, it's just undeniable. They're a tough team. So I guess I'll go Baltimore, but anybody could win this division realistically.
Were you surprised at the resolution of the Amari Cooper situation, and where does it lead?
Yeah, I was surprised he didn't get any more years. I don't know what Andrew Berry – Andrew Berry's a nice guy. He's a charismatic guy, but he must be one heck of a schmoozer because he's been able to pull off some trades where they've capitalized on, you know, high potential players for low prices, Cooper being one. I thought Judy was another trade that could really pan out in their favor. And then he goes and convinces Amari, hey, look, we'll give you half your money up front so you get a little $10 million in your pocket before taxes, and we'll give you some earnable money and incentives. Like, that's not a big concession to get a guy to stop holding out. And Amari's at that age where this is his last time to cash in. So I was very surprised that he didn't get any additional years. And it speaks to the Browns. It speaks to the health of the organization, which is crazy that I'm even saying that considering what happened over the last two decades. But they're pretty stable right now. And players like Amari Cooper want to be there. And that says a whole lot about who you are in that you can get a deal like this done. You don't have to tack on three more years just to keep a guy happy. So we'll see. I mean, if he has another year like he has the last 2 years, there's no way you don't pay him. And I'm sure Barry will figure out a way to get it done. But I was just very surprised in that moment he didn't get at least one more year tacked on.
Hope you'll join us throughout the season. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, always. Whenever you want it, just give me a call. I'll be here.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate you.
NFL.com. Joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. There are some expectations, there are some eyeballs, and people will be paying attention to what's going on, and I think that's definitely the case with this football team this year.
Yeah, I think Nick brought that up too, but I do think he's right about watching how the AFC North progresses this year. I'm going to throw the Browns out just because I don't want to say it because I've lived here my whole life, but I wouldn't be shocked if any of those teams went deep into the playoffs. Any of the four teams in our division. I can look at other divisions and go, oh, one team, maybe two. For the AFC North, it's all four. And if Deshaun plays up to expectations, it's clearly all four. If Pittsburgh's quarterback situation plays out the way they want it to in Pittsburgh, I think Nick's right, man. It's the same thing. I mean, think about it. They ended the season 10-7. And won three games, and the Bengals just missed at 9-8. Think about that. They won nine games. I mean, we've had years where we won 10 and didn't make the playoffs. They had a year where they won 9 last year, and everybody above them won 10.
Yeah.
That's just unheard of.
And Burrow went down in week 10.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting.
Although Jake Browning came in and played really well.
He
was Flacco-esque.
He's no Joe Flacco.
No, he's about 20 years younger. Interesting, though, and he resigned in Cincinnati, so they should be good to go at quarterback. We've had a lot of people on our various shows as we get ready for the season, which, by the way, preseason again starts a week from tomorrow for the Browns. And the afternoon show had a couple of guys on recently, Herm Edwards, mm-hmm. Mike Golick Sr., Villa Angela St. Joe's grad, St. Joe's back in the day when Mike was there. And they both had some really interesting thoughts about this team.
Yeah, Mike Golick first here from Wednesday talking about his thoughts on the Browns heading into the season. I am thinking arrow up with the Browns. I mean, the O-line, as long as they can get healthy with those two tackles, you know, Wilson and Conklin, that's going to be a key because that O-line has been tough. Nick Chubb, again, we're talking about injuries coming back. You know, the rushing attack after losing Chubb, they average under 4 yards a carry. So getting Chubb back whenever you can get him back is going to be huge. And then, obviously, the biggest question is the quarterback position. It's time for Deshaun Watson to beat Deshaun Watson. That's going to be the key. And, you know, obviously, the defense has to hold up their end of the bargain. Obviously, had some injuries they had to deal with as well. But it has all the makings of a team to battle with Baltimore for the top spot in the division.
I'd say that's on the money.
It's optimistic. It's kind of nice to hear, not that it means anything, but to hear someone who's national. And, I mean, I kind of look at Mike as bigger than Cleveland, don't you? Yeah, I think you guys do too. Okay. That to hear that kind of optimism, because I don't know that we normally hear that, right? We don't. I don't know. Normally, it's like, oh yeah, the Browns this, or oh that's but, so Cleveland, or that's so. We're not there anymore.
But I think for good reason. You know, back then the team didn't deserve your respect.
But there were years where maybe they should have, and they or they did or they didn't. Like the year. Well, we'll go back and. What was the year they were on national TV like five times? Was that that might have been Jarvisius Edwards in
2008?
Yeah,
I think it was after the 2007 season.
Yeah, with Anderson, right, a quarterback.
Yep.
And you know they had all kinds of respect going into the next season, but that season they had zero respect going in. I think they were on national TV just for one time the year prior to the next year. Where they were, was that, I'm trying to, I can't even,
I think they might have had Pittsburgh on like a Thursday night game. That's what they usually would do.
Yeah, and then the next year they were like, oh, Cleveland's back. This is good for the game, blah, 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 blah. And then right down the you know what. But now I think there's a level of consistency. And again, that consistency comes from the fact that the front office is stable. The coaching staff is stable. Like we have all the stability things going on here.
Stable because they added Vrabel.
I'm done with you. Is the weekend here yet? Done.
At least I didn't say the staff is Stabes because they added Vrabes. Could have been worse.
Done with your fame because you're hear so Herm lame. Edwards.
So Herm Edwards talked about the Browns as well as Deshaun Watson and Ken Dorsey in the offense going into this year.
This will be interesting, this division. Very, very competitive, the AFC North. And the Cleveland Browns will have a chance. I think Ken Dorsey being the offensive coordinator helps Deshaun Watson in this sense. It'll be designed to be Watson-friendly, this offense. And remember, he coached Cam Newton. That's important for this reason. He understands a quarterback that has the ability to play off schedule, and that will run some. Now, he's not the runner Cam Newton is, but he can run good enough. And they've got a very talented team. Defensively, they were very good last year. And they've got some players on offense that are hard to deal with. Chubb, he's coming off injury. Amari Cooper, obviously, Jerry Jeudy, Njoku, the tight end. So they've got a good offensive line. They've got a good defensive line. They got an outstanding secondary. So this is going to be a fun team to watch.
I this goes against everything that I think, because what Herm said, I thought about Dorsey when they brought him in, was the fact that he had coached Cam Newton before. And I thought about that too. But as I was sitting here digesting, listening to him saying it, I'm like, do we give coaches too much credit for the athletic ability of someone who's actually out on the field? I mean, a coach can guide and try to predict what the play will be going into it, but ultimately, isn't it on the player? I mean, you give Ken Dorsey credit because he had some success with Cam Newton, right? But is that just osmosis, or is that very real? Is that, hey, like I think when you hear someone like Cam Newton come back and say, I got to tell you, I was this kind of a quarterback and I wasn't able to do anything, but when I met Ken Dorsey, it was like the heavens opened up and I found myself in positions and doing things that changed the way, like every offensive line, I think, every offensive lineman that had played for the Browns over the last couple of years, how we give a coach credit for that. Sometimes I think we do stuff by osmosis and we think, well, they played this and that's why they are, but sometimes it's about the athletic ability of the athlete. And I think we underestimate that.
I think you're right.
But we don't talk about it, right? It's like we want to play connect the dots So we can say, well, we kind of know our history.
You very rarely see a coach, a great coach, take a crummy athlete and turn them into something incredible. You can see a great coach take, you know, good athletes and make them work as a unit, you know, stuff like that. But you have to have talent to work with. You need proof. I brought this up before. Greg Popovich in San Antonio,
yeah,
with the Spurs. He's a terrific coach. And when he hasn't had talent, he hasn't won. So
Terry Francona in 16, right? Like, there's one of those, because he was manipulating the system in ways that we didn't see with Miller in the bullpen. And so, I mean, I'm sure that happens in the NFL too, and there I'm talking about a manager. I'm not talking about like the first base coach or the third base coach is, oh, they changed my game. This is why I'm a better player. You know, it's just, if you don't have the God-given athletic ability to execute out on the stage, you could be the greatest coach on earth, but it's not going to happen because talent's going to outweigh talent on the field. At least that's the way I see it.
I want to bring up one thought, and we'll be talking about this more next week as the Browns get ready to play preseason game number one.
Number one.
You have three preseason games.
Yes.
You want to see Deshaun Watson in the preseason?
Are we doing this now?
We're just going to touch on it now. We're going to get into it big time next week, you can be sure.
I kind of do. I don't want him to get hurt, but I kind of do.
I think he needs to play.
I don't want to play him in the last game. I can tell you that. Because you get idiots out there that are trying to make a team. And if they can, you know, if their claim to fame is that I knocked Deshaun Watson out before the season started, that's not, you don't want to put him in that position.
I would like to see him play some football in the Ken Dorsey offense. And keep in mind, he's played 12 games in the last 3 years. I think he wouldn't hurt to play a little bit. Your season ended early last year. Get out, play, knock the rust off now. Don't wait till the start of the regular season.
I'm okay with it, but what, it's Minnesota that's coming in that we're doing the group stuff with this year.
Even better than playing a preseason game,
it
Andy.
It is. Well, no, because you're the coach can protect the quarterback.
Yes, they certainly can.
I want to hear about him getting almost all the reps there.
Yes, I do too.
Are you done, Walter Cronkite? now I got to do that to myself.
I think he's got.
I made an old reference.
I think he's got to play in the preseason. I think he has to play. It just, you've got to roll the dice, blah, blah, blah. I think he has to play. I think it would be critical for the team if you get into week one, you're playing Dallas. Dallas has a good defense, and the rust has been knocked off, and he's as good to go as you could possibly be for a season opener.
If I'm going to see him play, I want to see him play in Seattle. I want to see him play on the road.
That's the third game.
Yes.
That's the game Andy
says. No, that's the game I
don't
want him in. By the way, point of reference, Walter Cronkite would have been 107 this year. Sorry I brought that up. Okay, go ahead. What?
No, I was going to say, I look at that week in particular where you have the travel mixed in. You have the joint practices the week before, so I think he's going to get the reps there. I don't think that you'll see him out there. But in going into a road environment, I want to see him out there at least for a quarter, maybe two, just to see what he has out there. And also, then you have the two-week break afterward. Before you get into the regular season, I want to see what he has out there at least for that final tune-up before the regular season.
I don't want to see him in the Seattle game. Again, you've got guys that are fighting for a position. It takes one idiot on the defense to do something stupid to a quarterback, and now all of a sudden you're spending the entire year wondering why your quarterback got hurt in the last meaningless preseason game of the year. I know they're all kind of different. I do think the majority of the work for him needs to come in those games against Minnesota where they're not on TV and they're getting the work in against the Vikings. That's where they're really going to see what they have.
One thing to keep in mind here, if Mac, they play him against Seattle, well, that means they're playing all the starters.
Yeah, your offensive line's going to be out
there.
They're
not going to put him on the field with a backup offensive line.
I'm pretty sure they did that against Kansas City last year, if I remember right. I could be misremembering. But
I don't think they're going to do that. If they're going to play Deshaun Watson, they're playing him with starters.
Yeah, of course you are. You can't play Deshaun Watson without your starting offensive line. There's just no
absolutely
way. Okay, all right.
Not a Jacksonville situation.
So we'll see. We'll talk about it more during the week as we lead up to the first preseason game. But I'm sorry, folks. It's time to quit dealing with Deshaun Watson in any way other than let's play football. Get out there. We got to go. Six games your first year here, six games your second year here. It's time to go. And it's time to produce. I think that's the most clear thing we could possibly do here. It's time for him to produce at a very high level.
Watson 5-for-10 in that game against Kansas City, that preseason game. Oh, remember how they lost that game?
You're giving preseason stats?
He was 5-for-10, 92 yards.
Somebody stop him.
92 yards.
Stop him.
Maybe because he knew we were the flagship.
It's Baskin and Phelps on the Fan. Stop Baskin.